And welcome. Welcome to Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is going to be a good show. So I guess we got to start with some music. What kind of music should we play today? Well, there's this great drummer named Narada Michael Walden, who was the drummer at one point in the Mahavishnu Orchestra with John McLaughlin. Later on, Billy Cobham was the drummer in that band. Or maybe one went after the other. But anyways, he put an album out that was quite good, you know, from a jazz fusion point of view. And, you know, he had amazing musicianship. And so we'll play something from that. But what? What should we play? Well, I think we should play You Got the Soul, maybe? And You Got the Soul, which is that? That's not the second song. Let me see here. And the album, by the way, it's from the 70s. Yeah. You Got the Soul, number 7. Or Saint and the Rascal. Nah. I think we'll play Saint and the Rascal, which features Jeff Beck on guitar. You know, the amazing guitar player that died not that long ago. So here is Saint and the Rascal, from Narada Michael Walden's album Garden of Lovelight. And I think lots of you out there are starting your gardens, those of you who like to garden. So let's hear this tune from an album called Garden of Lovelight. We'll be right back.
sent down from above. I can hear your soulful symphony. Here I am. Let me take your hand. Let us share this feeling, which is free.
So I'm going to, while I'm trying to set up Zoom, I'm going to essentially play you some more music. And so, you know, what music should I play? Well, I found this, I'm always searching for amazing musicians, especially from the 70s. Or people that put out albums in the 70s. I know it's a little bit overkill, my obsession with music from the 70s. But, you know, whatever. It's, you know, I was born around that time. I was born in 71, so maybe it has something to do with that. But let me play you a song from, I think his name was Tommy Bolin. And he was this pretty amazing guitar player who eventually put out basically a solo album. And the tune I want to play is I can't remember if there's lyrics in it or not, or singing in it or not, but a lot of it is just amazing musicianship. And it's called Post Toasty. And it's from Tommy Bolin's album. And we'll play it for you now. It's a long song, so maybe we won't need to do the whole thing, but we'll be back to talk to you about this, all right? So stay tuned, and here is Tommy Bolin with Post Toasty, like toasty, like toast, and post like postmodern. So Post Toasty by Tommy Bolin. Thank you.
Tonight, so take it nice and easy.
And we're back.
Two, three.
On CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Ryan Young, and that was Tommy Bolin with the tune Post Toasty. Welcome to Equilibrium. This is Ryan Young. Can you hear me, Louis?
Yes, I can.
Great. So because our phone lines weren't working in the studio today, we've set it up as a Zoom meeting. And so I'm just going to introduce Louis here. Louis Robert is a agronomist that worked for MAPAC, for the Ministry of Agriculture for Quebec. And I guess it was in 2018 or 2019, he was fired from his job for basically speaking out too much about his own opinions and based on research about the overuse of certain pesticides in Quebec agriculture. He was eventually reinstated, and after that he wrote a book called Pour le Bien de la Terre, which is from the Multimonde publisher. And we're very happy to have you on the show today. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm great. Thank you.
So I guess, you know, there's been a lot of coverage, or there was a lot of coverage in the French media about your story, but a lot less in the English media here in Montreal, I guess, and in Quebec. And so if you could just tell us, go back and tell us what your story is about how that whole thing happened.
Okay, I'll do that. I was working for the for MAPAC, as you said, for 35 years until my retirement last year. But every so often during my career, I happened to realize that there was something wrong going on, and industry and farmers' union were intervening in the matters of public funded research in feed crops. In the pesticide or weed control area, and also in the fertilizer area as well, soil fertility altogether, they were intervening in a way that our general recommendations were twisted because of the interest of those groups, fertilizers industry, and also the UPA, the Union des producteurs agricoles. They had a seat on boards of agronomists that were in charge of establishing the guidelines for applying pesticide and fertilizers in the province of Quebec. And as I said, it happened a number of times. You know, as an agronomist, one of your tasks is to provide extension information, scientific information, and bring that information for the farmers to be able to adjust its practices, its cultural practices, and trying to achieve a better financial output, and also at the same time protect the environment. Anyway, so I realized that there was something wrong, because our own guidelines, our own recommendations were biased by the presence and the interests of the industry as well as the farmers union, and I saw that happen. I saw that happen throughout my career from time to time, until at one point I realized that if I go on and I leave MAPAC and I go to retirement without having never doing anything about it, then I'll be very, very sorry. I'll be mad at myself. So in 2017, the government passed a bylaw, which it's a whistleblower bylaw, as we call it. It allowed for any public officers in the fonction publique in Quebec to alert his or her management whenever that person sees something wrong happening in the management of those matters. So that's what I did. It took me at the end of 2017. I asked the head of the Ministry of Agriculture to start an internal inquiry about the bad influences that were happening at the research center in Belleuil, south of Montreal. And then after that internal inquiry, I realized that it didn't go anywhere, and it was crooked, as we say, because the deputy minister was informed of my asking the inquiry to occur. So after 6 months or 10 months, I was fired. And then a new inquiry was started, but that one an external inquiry was started by the Protecteur des Citoyens du Québec. And after a couple of months, in June of 2019, the report went out, and it was said that MAPAC had managed very badly my inquiry requirement, and they would put the blame. And the prime ministers apologized publicly to me, and then it made me be able to reinstate my position in MAPAC in Saint-Hyacinthe in August of 2019. And then in last year, in 2022, after 35 years, I retired from MAPAC. But in the meantime, I benefited from all the support from the public, a public outcry that was went off after the information that passed around that I was wrongly treated by the MAPAC, and that in the bottom line was actually very true, that there was manipulations of the information, the scientific information about pesticide use and also about fertilizer use in Quebec. And then in the meantime, during the last 2 years I was at MAPAC, I was approached, I was contacted by a publisher, and I wrote that book, Pour le bien de la terre. And now I'm very happy that I did that. I have absolutely no regrets, at some point it was difficult to live through. I endured, high level of stress for some time, but At the bottom line, I'm very happy with the end result, actually. So here I am, retired agronomist, but I'm retired from MAPAC, but I still do work as an agronomist and as a private consultant. So I do only the good part of my previous job, and I left all the red tape and all that and in the office. So. Now I stand, and I'm very, very, I'm very happy.
So what was your central goal with writing that book? What was the message that you wanted Quebecers to know about?
It's funny because while I was writing it, I kept asking myself, what is the reason why I write this book? Because I was a little bit reluctant to start with when I started to write the book, and it was difficult. I'm very good at writing technical papers, agronomy papers and all that. But writing for the general public a whole book, it scared me a little bit. But at the end, as I went along and with my editor, I had a fantastic collaboration with my editor. As we went along, I realized that I'm actually writing this book for myself, to be able to put all the pieces together and relate them together and get the whole picture, because everything's kind of related in that story, the MAPAC behavior of the directors and deputy ministers, and the role and what the role that was played by UPA and all that, and the agriculture that we now have in Quebec. It's no wonder that agriculture nowadays, as is this practice in Quebec, is so far away from what the citizen, which is the agriculture, to be worked. It's very, very different because it's a result of decisions that were taken back then by a small number of people behind closed doors. But now, I would say since for the last 4 or 5 years, there's a growing interest by the general public to get involved with the agriculture, how it's performed in Quebec, because everywhere it's the same. Agriculture is a public good. It's a, you know, it belongs to everybody, and we should get interested not only in recipe books, but also in where does the food come from, and how it's prepared, how it's grown, you know, how the animals are raised as well. And all these agricultural issues are becoming more present on the public media and all that. So I find it very, very interesting. And now, after my retirement, I was lucky to meet with numerous groups of people everywhere in Quebec, and that's what I hear. The agriculture that we wish to have is very different from what it's done actually in the fields by farmers. So we have to work together and try to reconcile those two views in one sound agriculture that's durable and sustainable for the long term, with much lesser environmental impact that it's that we see nowadays altogether. So I see I keep on doing my job as an agronomist, but my audiences are more much broader than it used to, and I find that very interesting.
So can you maybe summarize some of the major problems with agriculture in Quebec? Well, what are the things that need to change?
I was just giving a hint of that just before, and to me, it looks the future of agriculture in Quebec is when the citizens are getting involved in the decisions that are being made on their behalf for the future of our agriculture, but also the environment altogether. You know, it's tied together very closely. So to me, one of the main problems is that our managers of agriculture in Quebec, the minister and deputy minister and those people, they take decisions, sheltered from the public eye. And that is a main problem. I'm not doing a trial, you know, I'm not meaning a trial towards individuals per se, but I'm just pinpointing problems that I see in agriculture. During that process of trying to understand the problem, then I can identify where the causes of the problem are actually. And it's not in the part of the industry people, because they're working for their interests, you know. It's nowhere that we have to realize that the industry, fertilizer industry, as well as the pesticide industry, the interest, public interest, is not their objective, you know. This is has got to do with the government, and in particular, in my case, the MAPAC, and they're the ones. If there's someone to blame, that'd be them. But I'm not. As I said, I don't want to sentence anybody to jail. My objective is try to find the causes of the problem, and then fix it. In order, if we want to not repeat the same mistake that we did in the past. So when, for example, when an industry rep calls a deputy minister and tells him, well, you should get rid of that agronomist, or you should do that and do that, that deputy minister should just say, you know, I'm working for the public interest. I'm not working for your interest. And whenever there's a conflict between the two, manager, that public officer should choose to work for the public interest first and foremost, you know, and leave alone all the other interests. And that's just the cause of the problem. It's just as simple as that, you know. I sometimes compare that to whenever you have a problem with your car, you bring into the garage and you have the mechanics to look after it. And the mechanics is not going to throw away your old car because the water pump, for example, it doesn't work well. You know, it's going to fix it by replacing the part that's not working good. that's basic, you know, process. And that's what I see in agriculture. And if the management, for example, in Quebec, we have a what we call a ordre professionnel, the Ordre des agronomes. Is kind of it's a body that was instituted by the government, and its sole objective is to protect the public interest, which it doesn't do at all in Quebec. And that's my story. Is it all about that? You know, it shows that the Ordre des agronomes is not defending the public interest whatsoever. It hasn't done anything when it was said that the fertilizers recommendations in Quebec are about twice as much as in Ontario or in New York State, you know. And that's a reality. That's a fact. In Quebec, we recommend much larger amount of fertilizer for the same needs of the same crops, you know. It's not that we need more fertilizer, it's just that we're being sold more because the industry has infiltrated the bodies that recommend, that set up the guidelines for Quebec. The same is true for the pesticide. We should clean those areas, you know, with to get rid of bad influences that we see. And it's not up to the industry personnel per se, nor is it's not up to the union, the farmers union, to do that, because the farmers union, they're defending also they're protecting their own interest, that of their members. So public interest, where does it sit? It sits in the end of in the hands of the ministry and the public sector, and that we should be careful as citizens to look after. Are they doing the job well? If not, we should do something about it. So it's, you know, the problem is very precise. It's not, we shouldn't throw away all the system altogether, but we should fix the parts that don't work well. So my where I see that there's problem, for example, when the research center that started it all in 2018, I noticed that the farmers union and the pesticide industry were represented, were at a seat, at many seats actually, on the board of directors of that center, which doesn't make sense. That center is financed, it's all its revenue, almost all, it's 76% of all its revenues come from the public, the MAPAC, you know. So it doesn't make sense to have a board of directors that is being, the board of management that's being controlled by a farmers union and the pesticide industry. That doesn't make sense. That's what I told loud to everybody, and I think that's it should be corrected, it should be fixed. And the minister and the deputy minister should rename look after and be very careful about who's sitting on that, because we got plenty of people, very competent, that could work on those board of directors across Quebec. But, you know, the minister trying to not to do too much harm to towards the union or towards the industry. We have had in Quebec governments, and I believe it's true too in many parts of the world, in North America anyway, that we have had. And I'm not making politics. I'm not doing politics at all when I say that. But if you want to see bluntly what are the causes of problem, one fact is true is that we have had in the past government that were you know, influenced and that were willingly influenced by the industry sector, you know. I don't mind the industry doing their business whatsoever, but whenever I see an industry personnel being mixed up with the public interest and managing the money of the public for their own interest, with no respect to the public interest, that's where I find, you know, intolerable, and I have to say something about it. That's what I did. So I called to my colleagues, and I called to everybody to be careful about that, because it happens. It happens all again nowadays. Much less so at that research center, of course. But we have to be very careful about what's happening across the board in terms of agriculture, how it's managed in Quebec. Yeah.
And at one point, I remember there was a minister who said, I don't know which minister it was, but I think it was the agricultural minister who made a comment to the media that the pesticide industry was more powerful than the government. Do you remember yeah. that? And who was that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It was Pierre Parati, who used to be a ministry of agriculture, and maybe 20 years ago, maybe not that long ago. Anyway, yeah, that's the one. But everybody, every time I hear something similar to that, I always respond that it's not that the lobbies are very powerful, it's just that we're weak. Because what I witnessed, I've never seen a public officer say no to lobbies, you know? And it's just as simple as that, you know. I've talked with André Lamontagne a number of times. I've met with deputy ministers in the past, and what I saw is the same throughout the years. They've never said no to lobbyists, almost never no, you know. And they didn't care much about the public interest, and that's very unfortunate to me. It's not that they're powerful. It's just that we're so weak that we don't oppose anything to them, and our bosses and our leaders of the agriculture sector, those people are supposed to defend the public interest. It starts right when they pick up the phone, and at the other end, they get a call from an industry representative. It's very unfortunate, and they kind of they're not shy of that at all. Actually, nowadays it they feel the heat. I should say that they feel the heat pretty much because you know lobbying in the ag sector has been found to do bad tricks to the people and. We see that, for example, one of the director of the farmers union is officially, you know, it's well known, it's public registered, that he is a lobbyist for the pesticide industry. So, I mean, right from the start, you know, there's something very wrong there, you know, and all those years nobody, you know, raised their hand, but now that it's known, but there's no. Secret of state that I discovered it's just in the records that we can see that Christian Verbeek was head of the farmers union and was also a lobbyist, registered lobbyist for the pesticide industry, and at the same time he was head of the board of management of the research center that was financed at publicly funded. So that there you go. You know, you see there that there's a basic problem, nowadays they're more ashamed of the people discovering that reality. And I hope that they're going to be, you know, much more careful whenever they want to do that trick again. They're gonna have people watching them. You know, the media, the CBC, Radio Canada. So they've done a wonderful job in monitoring what's happening in my story and at the research center, because in the specialty media, in the ag sector media, Bulletin des agriculteurs, Parle de chez nous, you don't rely on them because they also link with the industry. That's very bad. So I have, as I said, the general public media did a great job. The radio stations also, it was wonderful.
Hmm.
Yeah, and one feature that keep surprising me is that the general public understand those issues very, very easily. You know, they're not so complicated, one might say, but yet. From the ag sector, agronomists and farmers, they live with the feeling that the general public don't understand the reality, which is not true. It's just need to be explained a little. And what I what I see is that the general public understand very fast and very clearly. Sometimes I do workshops in the field for the general public on soil health, for example, the soil structure. And I'm amazed to see how fast the general public pick it up, you know. They understand the principle very, very fast. And to me, it's very funny. They understand faster than the farmers themselves, because the farmers, you know, they have old ideas that they can't get rid of. You know, it's so much in their minds for so long that they won't change it very fast.
And I remember at one point when there was a lot of pressure on government to do something about reducing the use of glyphosate, the government announced that they would make it now the job of an agronomist to decide, or that that if you wanted to apply glyphosate on your farm beyond a certain point, you needed an agronomist to okay it or to authorize it. Can you describe a bit what that was, and did that have any impact at all?
I find it interesting that you noticed that, because it was mostly overlooked when it happened at the time. In the fall of 2020, it was shown. Actually, it happened to be me again. It's just that I went out and I wrote an article in a paper in Le Devoir, and I mentioned that the farmers were being allowed. They can get reimbursed from the government public money for application of glyphosate right before the harvest operation in the field. And that is one of the most risky operation you can do in pesticide use, you know, applying Roundup just before the grain is ripe.
It's used as a desiccant, right, to dry out the crop?
Yeah, exactly. Whenever, and in that year, back in 2020, there were numerous fields of wheat and barley, especially wheat, that were not mature evenly, you know. So that's a common practice whenever we happen to have a year like that, where like 2020 wet, and you know, and it's we get to harvest time and the crop is not mature evenly. So farmers they will sometimes spray Roundup. It costs them money, mind you. So, it happens from more so in the northern part of Quebec and the eastern part of Quebec, less so in Montérégie area, because even in 2020, wheat and barley had plenty of time to mature, no problem. So we were able to do harvest in good conditions. But again, in 2020, they did that in the outskirts of central Quebec, and it was announced that the farmers union were able to get money, public funded, to pay back for the spraying of glyphosate in the field, which is a shame actually, because at the same time the government of Quebec was on the public media announcing that they had started a plan and they could support the reduction of the use of pesticide throughout Quebec. At the same time, public money was being used for,
an extra spray. Yeah.
An extra spray. And glyphosate at that time, usually glyphosate is sprayed early on in the season, you know, when the crop is young. And we have much less, I wouldn't say no residue, but much less residue from the time at harvest. But when you spray glyphosate 4 or 5 days before harvest, you're sure of getting glyphosate residues in the crop, in the grain, even in the flour, and then in the bread that's being made out of that crop, you know. So it was outrageous to see that. So the blame doesn't go to the farmers or even the union. It's just public, the public officers that are in charge of that those amounts of money, and I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars at the Financière Agricole du Québec, the body that reimburses the farmers But the board of directors, again, them, even if it's all funded by public money, the board of directors is controlled by the union and the pesticide industry. So that's what happened that back then. But that's one of the instances that were more outrageous, the most outrageous that throughout my career, actually.
And we don't have much time left here in the show because it's going to end soon. But what would you like to say in closing about all this?
Well, I think that my hope is that the public outcry will go on, and people will get more people will get involved in the direction that we want to put in our agriculture. That's my hope. It's not going to come from anybody else but the citizens. So that's why I'm spending time, and I'm very happy to do so, trying to inform the public in so many ways that I can, as much as I can, so that because the politicians that we depend from, they're very, very sensitive to what the public say in the media. That's I realized throughout my career. So that's the key. And it makes sense because, as I said earlier, every agriculture, it belongs to everybody. We should get involved because it's related to the environment and the territory and what we do with our land. So it's very, very important to do so.
Well, thank you so much, Louis, for joining us today and speaking to us.
Thank you, Ryan. All right.
All the best.
Bye.
And that was Louis Robert, who is a agronomist who is now retired. And he worked for the MAPAC, which is basically the Quebec Ministry of Agriculture. There was a scandal when he was fired unjustly, and then he was reinstated. And after that whole thing, he wrote a book, to basically tell his story. And that book is called Pour le Bien de la Terre, which you can find in most bookstores. You can find it at Renaud-Bray, and it is published by Édition Multimonde. You are listening to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Ryan Young. So that's all the time we have left in the show. We're going to leave you with some music, but you can always email us at equilibrium@ckut.ca to give us comments or suggestions. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/equilibriumckutmontreal. We have a website which is called equilibriumradio.weebly.com, and we have an affiliated podcast on Spotify called the Equilibrium Radio Podcast. So we'll leave you with some music here. What should we play? I guess we'll play a new tune by Hannah Georges. This is This Too Shall Pass.
It's not my place to
at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the factories fall.
Oh, get on, get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I die.
as a union man, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies. And I don't get fooled by the factory rules, 'cause I always read between the lines. And I always get my way if I strike for higher pay. When I show my card to the Scotland Yard, and this is what I say. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die. My life was as clear. Now I've got the power to the working hour and every other day of the year. So though I'm a working man, I can ruin the government's plan. I'm not too hard, but the sight of my car makes me some kind of Superman.
Funky revolutions, funky.
Funky revolutions, funky.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funky revolutions,
whoa,
funky.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funky revolutions, funky. You are listening to Funky Revolutions.
We see the world clearly.
I'm gonna go to the hospital.
for your mind and for your hip. This is the Mothership's Cassette Archives, 25 years of funky revolutions. A chance to hear some of the musicians, interviews, and series that have marked 25 years of discovery on the flight of the Mothership with host Khalid. On this week's episode, Hip Hop Elements. First, an interview from September of 1995 with Rubadoid Band, featuring then a 13-year-old DJ A-Track and his brother Dave One. In a second part, two interviews, or at least parts of interviews, done with Chaos. First, in the spring of 2002 for his first album, Exit, and then an acoustic presence and interview in September of 2004 for his sophomore album, Joyful Rebellion. And to close out the show, Muzion,